to this week's Sportscaster from Stuff. It's Dana Johansson. Kia ora, Dana. Welcome back to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Thank you.
Nice to have you on. I heard you talking to 9 to Noon on Friday, and my, haven't events moved on since then?
I know. It's, yeah, absolutely. It moves on every hour. It's really hard to keep track of the developments, so I don't envy those sports administrators and those decision-making positions trying to have to navigate this space and manage competitions.
So I think when you were speaking with Catherine, at that point we had this bizarre situation. We were going to have an international cricket match at the Sydney Cricket Ground between New Zealand and Australia in front of an empty stadium. By the end of the weekend, the cricket itself is off altogether. In fact, a lot of sports are off altogether. How much sport is still going ahead?
Yeah, it seems like most sports have been affected in some ways. The only one that's still going ahead, I guess, at the moment is the ANZ Premiership Netball. We've just had a game finish in Dunedin. That game also wasn't played in front of a crowd after today's announcement by Jacinda Ardern that gatherings of over 500 plus people are banned. So that went ahead, but played in front of an empty stadium. And I think probably netball being a fully domestic competition is probably one sport that's in the position that they can, so long as the players remain healthy, continue.
Yeah, and that's the issue, I guess. And this is one of the key things. If it becomes apparent in the next couple of weeks that there is transmission within the New Zealand community, New Zealanders infecting New Zealanders, then that's probably going to make it much harder for us to feel that we can take the risk. At the moment, it is still a risk, but we hope that the players themselves won't affect each other at the moment. But it must be so strange to perform in front of an empty stadium.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I guess for them it felt a little bit like a training game. But, I think probably the more kind of weird one for me was watching that Black Caps Australia game, the first game of the Chapel Hadley series that was played in front of just a handful of people that were dotted around the stadium at the SCG, like a big iconic stadium, I think about 80,000 seats, just dead quiet. It was weird.
And then somebody hit a six into the stand and it took the majors to go and get it because there was nobody there to throw the ball back.
Yeah, I hope no one was fined for a slow over rate. That could have been a bit niggly. But yeah, I guess we kind of laugh about it, but it's actually having a massive impact on the sports industry as a whole. And yeah, I really, really feel for some of those people out there. I mean, you know, a lot of those clubs, a lot of sporting franchises and national sports organisations, they kind of live a hand-to-mouth existence, particularly in New Zealand where the market is quite small and they really are reliant on those gate takings and having people show up to the games to keep their head above water. So, it's going to have a massive impact on the wider sports community.
I mean, the sports that have a bigger profile are actually maybe not so vulnerable because as long, for example, with netball, if they are playing in front of an empty stadium, they are still getting paid by the broadcaster that broadcasts the netball, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah, I think Sky would be quite thankful to have netball continuing because their channels could be looking quite empty, or you have a full channel lineup of replays going on at the moment. So, that's another thing to account for. You know, the legal implications of all of it. What happens to all these contracts that have been signed? If these seasons have to be suspended for good, you know, what happens to player contracts? What happens to these broadcast agreements? There's just so many things that are up in the air at the moment. It's just such a fast evolving situation that no one's really got the answer. It's hugely speculative at the moment.
Okay, Dana, we'll go through a few of the major sports one by one, and you can tell me what you know. And even if that's not very much, that's fine. For example, okay, netball is, at the moment, the New Zealand competition is still going. What about the football competition, the one that the Wellington Phoenix is involved in?
Yeah, that one, again, is hugely up in the air. I think what's complicating these, the same with Super Rugby, the same with the NRL, is that there's trans-Tasman travel involved, and as soon as you leave the country and come back in, you automatically have to self-isolate for 14 days. So that makes it very complicated. Now, the Phoenix are now in a position where they are supposed to be getting on a plane to Sydney tomorrow. They're still not sure whether they'll do that because they're just not sure what's going to happen. That I think Australia have now introduced quarantine procedures for incoming passengers. So it's not clear at the moment if there's any point in the Phoenix even going over there.
They might have to isolate for 14 days, and that's probably two games, isn't it?
That means they'd miss their fixtures, yeah.
The Warriors, so the rugby league competition that the New Zealand Warriors is involved in, is that still going?
So the NRL, they seem to be hell-bent on continuing at this stage, but it's left the Warriors in a really difficult position again with that Trans-Tasman travel. So the Warriors, they opened their season at the weekend, a 20-0 loss to the Newcastle Knights, so not a great start for them. Now, they've actually sacrificed their first home game of the season against the Canberra Raiders and kindly, you know, everyone's sort of praising them for this, they've opted to stay over in Australia so that fixture can go ahead across the Tasman. But no one really knows what's going to happen beyond this weekend because it's not really feasible. There had been talk of whether the Warriors could remain in Australia for a couple of months and wait for this thing to pass, but it's not really feasible for them to do it. You know, these players have got families. I can't imagine the financial implications as well of having to put the Warriors up, entire team up over there for 2 months. So again, it is looking increasingly likely that Warriors may have to withdraw from the NRL season if the NRL opt to keep going with it.
Are the rugby league games going on in front of empty stadiums?
They weren't at the weekend, but I think since then that, large gatherings over 500 people have been banned now in Australia. So, upcoming games will be, yes.
The Super Rugby competition, which is even more international, South America, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa.
Yeah, so currently SANZA have suspended the competition for 2 weeks. They're keeping a watching brief on what happens around the world. So it's just really given administrators a little bit of breathing space to really see what's happening, you've got, as you mentioned, so many countries involved. What has been discussed is potentially moving to a fully domestic competition for the interim. So when they get that competition back up and running again, if they can in 2 weeks' time, there could be a chance that New Zealand and rugby just opt to play those local derbies until such time as you can travel again. But as I say, it's just, you know, such a fast evolving situation at the moment.
At the moment, that would be in front of empty stadiums again, wouldn't it?
That's right. Yeah. But I guess it means that they can still maintain their broadcast commitments and at least give Sky something to put on the telly for all us that are stuck at home in self-isolation.
Now, we've been talking about sports that have got big. Okay, there's one other I was going to ask. Basketball. The New Zealand Breakers are again in the Trans-Tasman League. What's happening with them?
Well, their season's over.
Oh, it is. Oh, they got through.
They got through, but there are a number of New Zealand basketballs that are playing in overseas leagues that have since come home. We saw one player, Isaac Fortu, who had been playing over in the Italian league, and of course we know that Italy is one of the hot spots for the virus right now. So he managed to get out of there, but he's now in self-isolation, and he's been really outspoken about making sure people do this properly. So people returning to New Zealand, you know, take their responsibilities seriously in that area. And he was on social media today sort of showing his reality. He's sort of trapped inside a room. His mother, I understand, has set him up with a jug and all the sorts of things he needs. He's got PlayStation there and he's fully committed to riding out that 14-day period.
Yeah, but he'll be fine, you know, and that's the way to do it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we've been talking about sports which have television coverage, so they get money from broadcasters. What about some of the sports within New Zealand that actually depend on people coming along and paying to watch? They're actually, in the short term at least, more vulnerable, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of clubs and franchises rely on gate takings to keep themselves afloat. So, it's going to have massive implications. Of course, their costs will be reduced, not having to do, you know, stadium hire and keep a stadium open. But you've also got to look to the wider implications for the industry. You know, it's not just the players and the coaches and people like that are affected. It's stadium staff, it's security, it's catering, and it's things like that. It goes all the way down the chain. So I guess people tend to think that sport is this kind of frivolous thing, and it's not too much of an impact if it gets cancelled, but it does actually have, you know, the sports industry is massive. It keeps people in jobs in New Zealand.
It's a big part of our lives, and yes, it employs a lot of people doing stuff that maybe we take for granted, but they don't in terms of their livelihoods.
Absolutely, yeah. The other big one that's up in the air at the moment is the Olympic Games.
Yes.
That's the one that seems to be the big holdout at the moment.
Because they're still on.
Yeah, well, it seems that the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, and the organising committee for those Tokyo Games are both adamant currently that the Games will be going ahead, the show will go on. It's kind of weird to me when you see all these leagues around the world that have just been so badly affected. You've had all these lead-up events cancelled, and you've got these you know, officials saying that the show will go on, business as usual. But I guess they are in quite a difficult position in that, you know, it's at the point where you just cannot plan at the moment. Mm. So I guess they're saying to, you know, the 20, 30, 40,000 people around the world that, or athletes around the world that will be coming into Japan later in the year, for the time being, business as usual, keep training, keep preparing as if the games will go ahead.
Do you think that's almost a face-saving option at the moment, rather than that, because it's given how the spread of the virus, given that once it's within a community, it gets that it's harder and harder to stamp it out. And Japan actually has done quite well, but to then suddenly have people from thousands of people from all around the world, it just seems we aren't going to get rid of COVID-19 by July. Globally.
No. Yeah, I guess like Japan has done well and seems to be riding it out, but you look at other areas around the world and they're still in the thick of it. So, and given it's been so hard to track and this thing, it's I guess they're in a situation where they don't know what's going to happen come July. I think possibly that they're in a bit of a conflict between reason and money right now. They don't want to sort of pull the curtains down too soon and then later learn that it could have gone ahead or they could have actually done this thing. But you've got to think, you know, bringing in, even if it went ahead without people in the stadiums, you know, bringing in tens of thousands of athletes from around the world and putting them in one village, you know, three or four to a room has got to be perfect conditions for this thing to spread.
In terms of your work as a sports reporter, if, say, the ANZ Premiership carries on the netball, will you be going to any of these games? Can the media still go along, or you got to watch on the television like everybody else?
I haven't actually checked that one out. I don't cover a lot of live sport these days. I'm more on the off-field stuff, so I hadn't inquired about that one. But I guess if you observed certain protocols, you would be okay in most instances. I understand they did have media at the Black Caps game across in Sydney the other day. I see they're still holding press conferences and things like that. They've just slightly changed up the protocols around it. The NRL had a kind of 3-metre rule. They had kind of set up a podium with microphones. No one's allowed to leave their phones or dictaphones and in front of the players. They've got to sort of hold them remotely. So I think media can still report, but I guess it depends on the sport and how officials rule it.
It would be a fascinating experience from a journalistic point of view to write about.
Yes. Maybe I have to get along to a game in Auckland.
Can see you writing quite a good feature about that, Dana. Yeah,
would be. Oh, you've given me some great ideas. This has been a profitable
chat. That's right. It's always, we like to help here on Nights. And one last thing. Now, I did hear that it's Lachie Ferguson, the New Zealand fast bowler. We got thrashed, by the way, against Australia, didn't we?
We did, yes. And we shan't mention that.
Now, hang on. There was a result tonight. Again, who was playing tonight?
That's right. The Steel and Magic were playing tonight.
And who won?
And the Magic had a really good win over the Steel. It's actually the Magic's first win over the Steel in this new era of ANZ Premiership netball. So obviously they were a very successful franchise in the old Trans-Tasman League, but this is the first time they managed to get a win over the Steel. So a hugely significant result first up for the Magic.
And the Pulse beat the Canterbury Mystics, the Wellington Pulse, Central Pulse, earlier.
Beat the Tactics, yes. Yep,
Tactics.
That was on
Mystics, sorry, that's the Auckland team. Sorry
That's
about
right.
that.
So, yeah, Pulse, the defending champions, obviously had a good win over the Tactics first up. And the other surprise result really was the Mystics, who were the Wooden Spooners last year. They got up over their crosstown rivals, the Stars, last night as well. So, yeah, a pretty – I've kind of – the last two seasons, it's felt like it's been a really slow start to the competition. But this year, I was really impressed with the standard in round one. Some pretty sharp work out there.
Maybe they need to play in front of empty stadiums more. Maybe it's good. Relaxes them.
Yeah, it could be. We're just making them nervous.
Dana, and the New Zealand lost it. Lockie Cameron, Lockie Ferguson. He's all right. There was some issue about his health, but he hadn't got COVID-19.
No, he's been cleared. Yep. So as all our sports people are healthy at the moment, yes.
Good. Thanks, Dana. Dana, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
It's Dana Johansson back with more sport from her point of view.